Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Listeners, we've come to look for America, and we found it in today's town. I'm one of your hosts, Elliot McNally, and with me, every episode, is my brother, Vince McNally.
Here's to you, Mr. McNally.
Vince, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited. This is a great town. It's been a week filled with, you know, the fruits of the earth and the fruits of the strings.
I couldn't have put it better myself. I've had a spring in my step and a song in my heart all week. A song from the debut album of our great-great-grandfather, in fact, Vince.
In addition to many other things, Rand was a very storied musician. He mm-hmm. played and studied many different types of music. His debut album, All Around the World, was what some would call maybe the great ancestor of modern dubstep.
That's true. It was a lot of spoken word, particularly because he only had a finite amount of studio time, and a lot of that time was spent arguing with the sound engineers, and so those arguments are essentially what became the songs. He didn't have time to actually record anything he wrote down. So, you know, there's the classics of, no, my headphones, you idiot, or what's the EQ? Can you check the EQ? Do you have any favorites, Vince?
Yeah, I think my favorite is the one that maybe is everybody's favorite, is this thing on, and then tap, tap, in parentheses.
It just goes to show that someone can be famous for one thing, but have a passion and a hobby that is in a completely different realm that they still excel at.
If I didn't know any better, Elliot, I think you were making an allusion to the very town that we're staying in. To that end, why don't we put that on the map?
So listeners, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps. Maybe you have the original version, the steel-plated version, the woven tapestry version. There are so many versions to keep track of nowadays, but we hope that you have found the one that suits you best.
And we are excited to announce that we have found our holy grail, our golden goose, if you will. And while we were sending our associates and various McNally estate farmhands across the Asian steppe searching for spice paper, it turns out it was right under our noses all along in this tiny New York town.
That's true. Listeners, we're in upstate New York, and to celebrate this, we finally have a spice paper map.
Now, spice paper, despite being available in the United States, as we're finding out, is incredibly rare and fragile, and it's not paper at all, really. We've come to learn that it's just various spices and translucent plant parts lined up in a giant rectangle.
Yeah, it makes for not the strongest surface, especially when you're sticking a bunch of pins in it, but I think it's the thought that counts, and I love it, Vince, because we've been trying to get this map together for so long that quality is just not important to me anymore, really.
It's secondary at this point. I think that's a tenet of a lot of the things that we do, and it really pays dividends. So why don't we stick a pin in this town, even though the eastern seaboard of our map has disintegrated here. We'll put it where New York used to be.
Perfect. So listeners, check out the town of Scarborough Fair, New York. This is a town whose economy is centralized around parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. And that might sound familiar to you because it was popularized in a very traditional song, but even more popularized by the legendary folk duo Simon and Garfunkel.
Absolutely. So what we have here is a charming town built around botany. They're herbalists, apothecaries, cooking enthusiasts, and they grow their own herbs and export them across the state and across the East Coast.
And then sometimes they sing about them. Simon and Garfunkel have heavily influenced this town. They've never actually been here, but everyone who lives here is a fan.
Under heavy advisement from their manager, agents, and loved ones who scouted this town, they've been advised to stay well away. The amount of fandom here is approaching cult-like worship, and there's no guarantee that they wouldn't be captured and burned as an offering to the herbal gods.
Now, the people in the town are very, I would say, even notoriously gentle, just from listening to Simon Garfunkel's music so much, but when they get enthralled with something, they go full force. So, of course, if they were ever to come in contact with the real Simon Garfunkel, heads would roll.
Yeah, there's like many American South religions who sometimes experience speaking in tongues. Sometimes people of the Church of Simon Garfunkel here in Scarborough Fair will have something called being overcome by quote unquote the funk, where they just start singing in a falsetto and grooving lightly.
They call it the sound of silence. It is this internal thing that they cannot control. We've witnessed it several times. We've been overtaken several times because we've listened to so much great music here. We'll get to that later, but there's a different segment that I want to get to right now, Vince.
Elliot, I can barely wait.
And that, of course, is Elliot's Eats.
So, listeners, you know my brother and his fascination and some might even say fetish for food. He loves to try new places, new things, as long as it falls within the very narrow guidelines of his repressively strict diet. Elliot, why don't you enlighten our listeners? What sort of veganism are you practicing this week?
Well, in honor of the town and our new map, I am practicing spiced veganism. It's a veganism designed to spice up your life, as they say. Unfortunately, it is extremely limiting. You can, of course, only eat spices.
Clear this up for me, Elliot. You're not even allowed to chew and digest the spices. You're only allowed to suck the flavoring from it and then replace it in the earth in a tiny grave.
Yeah, that's true. Most of the time is spent building those graves and etching the tiny gravestones of the spices you consume.
As luck would have it, though, you're in the perfect town, Elliot. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of spice-only and spice-forward restaurants here in Scarborough Fair. So I'm guessing you took one in particular to heart.
There was actually a group of restaurants owned by the same company, and each restaurant is representative of one of the four spices made famous in this town, Vince.
Yes, as we mentioned earlier, even though spices of many kinds and flavorings and, you know, strains are grown here, the four big dogs, as they call it, are the titular sage, parsley, rosemary, and thyme.
Yeah, so they're all in one block of the street. I think it's Garfunkel Place. And you walk down, and there's four main restaurants. And, of course, your first inclination is tourist traps, right? But that's not the case. These are the four main restaurants. They highlight each spice so beautifully that I just had to check it out. And, of course, you'll be able to find even more information in my forthcoming book, Chew on This, Elliot McNally's Food Guide to Small Town America. Vince, I can see your eyes rolling back in your head so forcefully right now that I think you might have to take a drink of water or something.
I think I had what my physician would describe as a mild aneurysm. But right now it's only manifesting as a splitting migraine and a light nosebleed. Yes, and much to my chagrin, I am contractually obligated to mention that if you'd like, you can write us on the website and get a pre-published copy of Chew on This. What you'll actually get is a bucket full, and I mean that as an actual unit of measure, of Elliot's notes on Chew on This, which he produces prolifically. Mm-hmm. Drafts, notes, forewords, preludes, and footnotes appear basically to multiply on their own.
I like to start with the footnote first and then write the whole page. It's kind of an interesting practice I've been trying. Plus, we've gotten a huge sponsorship and a lot of deals on buckets from the Home Depot. So what better to fill those buckets than with just copious notes?
Absolutely. Thank you, as always, for your continued patronage Home Depot, mostly because we have to stop there so frequently to repair the RV, which runs into all sorts of disasters. But the reason why we're doing this promotion is because we literally could not burn the notes fast enough in our industrial strength incinerator, which sits on top of the RV. You produce so many notes that even incinerating them around the clock 24/7 has not put a dent in the giant pile that is taking up the back half of the RV.
I think that's just a testament to the devotion I have to chew on this Ellie McNally's Food Guide to Small Town America. And that's what makes this segment so great, Vince. But what makes these four restaurants so great is the fact that they're highlighting these four spices in such interesting ways. So as you walk down the street in this order, you're going to find a restaurant called Part and Parsley. Next door, you're going to find Sage Wisdom, followed by Rosemary's Baby, and then Morris Day's Good Time Family Restaurant. And each of these are great in their own regard. You know, don't get me wrong, but I gravitated towards Morris Day's restaurant.
You've always been a Time fan as long as we've been brothers, which has been forever.
Exactly. So this was the first place I checked out. And when you walk in, it's like you're walking in to Purple Rain, essentially. And which, you know, first seems out of place, but then you realize that Simon Garfunkel isn't the only musical influence in this town. It's just the idea of music in general, the idea of the amazing pun of the time and time put together. The people that started this restaurant just had to do it, really.
Yes, I actually accompanied you on one of your many trips to this restaurant. I'll quick interject with the dish that I had.
Sure.
Which was artfully prepared, but not terribly impressive to me. It was called Time and Time Again, and it was a two-course meal, and both courses were a plate of time.
And they weren't prepared two different ways or anything like that. I mean, this is like modernist cuisine at its best. It's just raw time.
On a plate, and couldn't eat much of it. Because they still had all the stalks attached. So I smelled it vigorously, as my server suggested, and then I left.
Well, I had an experience that I think was just maybe a couple clicks above that, Vince. So I sat down, and I immediately gravitated towards what they called the Prince Omelette. And although Simon and Garfunkel have been repeatedly advised not to come to this town, Prince actually frequents coming here to Morris Day's Good Time Family Restaurant. And what the Prince Omelette ends up being is just one sprig of thyme and then a hand mirror that you use to look at yourself while you smell the thyme.
Now, if that's not avant-garde cuisine, then I don't know what is. Did you enjoy that, Elliot?
Oh, I loved it. And actually, they made it so that with every dish on the menu, you can actually order someone to hold up a mirror to you. You know, it becomes your Jerome, essentially. So you can look at yourself while you're eating, and it makes it for an amazing experience.
Well, Elliot, as a time enthusiast and a storied narcissist, I can't think of a more fitting meal for you.
I can't either, Vince. And it was such an amazing experience, I think. The fact that they really hold to that one spice in each restaurant. I mean, if you go to the Rosemary's Baby, that restaurant, everything is going to be rosemary, literally. The Parsley restaurant, the Sage restaurant, there is no room for creativity outside of that one spice, but then you realize that there's so much creativity just using that one spice.
It's really a thing of beauty, and you know, sometimes I like to give your restrictive diet a bad rap, but when you come somewhere like Scarborough Fair and you can see the level of creativity that can be done with the medium, even in the face of such huge restrictions, that's got to be inspiring. It did inspire me. And you know what, Elliot? I like being inspired. And there's something we do every week that inspires me even more.
And what's that, Vince?
That's Hear From Our Listeners, in a segment we call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So, listeners, as my brother alluded to, we are constantly inspired by you, and we constantly want you to write into us each week. Every week we have the opportunity to read three of your questions. Vince, I've got the first one.
Let's hear it.
This one comes from Frank in Wilmington, Delaware.
Hey, thanks for running in, Frank. Love Wilmington.
Frank says, "Hi, guys. I've always wanted to go to Scarborough Fair, New York, because, as they say, I have a famous face. That's interesting. Huh. I wonder what he means by that.
Well, I hope he alludes to it in the rest of the letter.
Yeah, I probably should read the whole thing before I ask questions, I guess. So he says, I was on the popular MTV show, I Want a Famous Face, and I got plastic surgery to look exactly like Art Garfunkel. Do you think it would be okay for me to go to Scarborough Fair?
Well, let me start by saying, yeah, as a matter of personal opinion, great use of your money well spent, because Art Garfunkel is a handsome man, one of history's handsomest. So I hope the surgery went well, and I can't provide an expert opinion. We are hobby anthropologists, passionate but not formally schooled. Mm-hmm. But I would say that'd be a great choice. You'd be revered like a deity here in Scarborough Fair.
I will say that people that bear a likeness to Art Garfunkel, or Paul Simon for that matter, that come to town, get under a lot of scrutiny, because people know that there are fakes out there, and people know that countless fans have gotten plastic surgery to look like Art Garfunkel. So make sure you have a backstory, and if you want to lean into that, great. But if you want to just be yourself, who happens to look exactly like Art Garfunkel, be upfront about that, because people are going to hold that under a microscope, I think. So a couple things to point out would be, everyone knows that the true Art Garfunkel hates Mondays and hates lasagna. That's right off the bat. They also know that he always wears a vest. So there are several vest stores in town.
Yep. You can, if you're coming here without a vest, you can always check out Vest Wishes on Broadway, or Vest of the Vest.
Vest in Class.
And No Vest for the Weary, if you make it all the way to the downtown shopping district. But yes, Elliot, you were saying how best to disguise yourself as the true Art Garfunkel.
So definitely pick one of these vests up. They're all made, actually, out of either parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Very breathable. Every owner of each vest store takes detail into amazing consideration. So definitely pick one of these up if you want to continue the transformation, I'd say, Frank.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we will have to caution you if you are found out as an imposter impersonating the great Art Garfunkel. Mm-hmm. You'll be subject to some pretty draconian punishment, including, but not limited to, the ancient Scarborough Fair torture, where you are tied down to a garden bed and then parsley is grown underneath you till the stalks grow through you and you die.
Yeah, that's that medieval influence really coming into the town full force. And you'll see that time and time again, no pun intended, or maybe it is. But another ancient medieval torture that they will inflict upon you is to de-perm your hair.
Yes, using a natural chemical bath of various spices, they'll strip all curliness out of your locks and leave you with drab and feathered hair. That's not something you want.
Yeah, so just we would caution you to get your story straight, really think about what you're doing before coming to Scarborough Fair.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for writing in, and thanks to this writer who provided the second question that I have in front of me. This comes from Jamie in Santa Barbara, California.
So what does Jamie have to say, Vince?
Well, she writes, she loves the idea of going to Scarborough Fair. It's a town that she's wanted to visit to as an amateur traveler for a long time. She goes on to inquire, so it's no big secret that there are a lot of herbs being grown in Scarborough Fair and a lot of light funk folk music being listened to. It seems like a natural corollary to draw between that and maybe something a little more recreational. And then she has drawn an incredibly detailed face winking. It's actually quite the act of portraiture. I think this is her. This looks like her. She's in her mid-30s, and she's winking very suggestively. And then at the bottom it says, P.S. I mean weed.
Yeah, if this drawing is at all accurate, I just want to say maybe you should seek some sort of medical attention. Unless your face is a perfect circle, yellow, and your eyes are little black dots.
That said, she brings up a good point. Mm-hmm. Given the freewheeling, loved, embraced, musical culture and the natural bent on botany here in Scarborough Fair, it would be a natural guess to assume that they might partake in the use of marijuana, but that's just not true here.
It's not. Everyone experiences what they call a natural high, and that just is experienced by listening to Simon and Garfunkel. They have tried to make, let's put drugs in quotes, out of parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme, but it just doesn't have the same effect as, you know, traditional marijuana.
Which is why Scarborough Fair has such a debilitating heroin problem.
That is very true. You can make some killer heroin out of these four spices.
Particularly parsley. You undergo something called parsley paralysis, where you lay and you talk about garnishes for hours, sometimes days.
Yeah, how you do this is you get one of those vests that we talk about and what they say, tie yourself off. So you get a vest that's too small, button it up, and that's how you shoot up with the parsley.
Yeah, you'll want it really tight. You'll want it at least a size to a size and a half too small to wear comfortably. Mm-hmm. Not that we're advocating for the use of drugs, but we're non-interventionalists. We're anthropological. We like to survey and we like to witness. We don't like to judge or cast suspicions on anyone. If Scarborough Fair has a drug culture, far be it from Elliot and myself to get involved. Our own great-great-grandfather, Rand, was an opium baron and imported plenty of, drugs to and from the Far East. So, you know, we have a checkered past as well. Checkered like many of the vests that are used by heroin addicts here in Scarborough Fair. Great question, though. Thanks for writing. Elliot, it looks like you have the last question in front of you.
I do. And this one is from Samantha.
Samantha.
That's a really weird name.
Interesting. Where's she from?
Samantha is from Quincy, Idaho.
Thanks for writing in, Samantha.
So Samantha says that she has heard of Scarborough Fair, New York, time and time again. And, of course, she's written time, as you would expect, T-I-M-E.
Elliot and myself, huge, huge fans of puns, which is why it's so disappointing to see her pass that one up.
She says that the reason she's heard about it so much is because it's the setting of one of her all-time favorite films.
Elliot, I have this terrible feeling. I've broken out in a cold sweat.
Yeah, Vince, you're gonna wanna get some paper towels because that sweat's just gonna keep coming because this last sentence I'm gonna read may shock you, or maybe it won't. She says that it's the setting of the 1970s thriller Deliverance.
Elliot, I don't know if this is just the parsley withdrawals or I'm having a reaction to this question that I think we've heard a couple times before, but I hate to break it to Samantha. She's just not even in the right part of the country.
I will say, though, one iota of truth that there is in this letter is that the makers of Deliverance, the director, actually called up Simon Garfunkel because originally he wanted them to do the musical score for the movie before they actually ended up settling on the whole dueling banjos thing. They thought that having easy listening folk music wasn't as ominous in the movie.
Yeah, originally the scene was called Dueling Robinsons, where they would sing their smash hit Mrs. Robinson back and forth at each other at increasing speeds. Of course, they would sing the entire song, so it added at least 90 minutes of footage to the movie. Eventually, producers got involved, contracts were hemmed and hawed over, and the whole thing fell through, which is why we have the banjos that we do today. Mm-hmm. That said, that is the beginning and end of this small town's involvement in the production of that movie. That movie takes place in the South.
Yeah, and who could forget the famous deleted scene where it's framed by the dueling banjos players' leg in sort of a triangle, and then Burt Reynolds enters the room and says, Mr. Banjo player, I think you're trying to seduce me. And then Homeward Bound starts playing.
Truly a magical and magisterial piece of film. Too bad it had to be left on the cutting room floor. That's just how Hollywood works. It's a lot of sausage making, Elliot. Thanks for writing in, Samantha. Thanks to all our listeners who wrote in this week and every week. You really do make this show tick. And if you haven't heard your question being asked, well, then it's probably too late because we only ask three and we don't revisit the towns that we go to. That said, I want to visit a very special segment, Elliot.
That's very true. A segment where we find out what makes this town tick, boom, bap, and ski-dat. And that segment is Town Sounds.
Town Sounds is, Elliot, and my investigation into the music scene that makes the sounds that drive the town. We love doing this segment because it's a part of our personal interests that we don't get to explore too frequently. Obviously, we listen to music in the RV as we drive from town to town, but it's mostly extremely hardcore Finnish speed metal because we need to stay awake at all times, given our extremely grueling travel schedule. That said, I was excited to do a little more easy listening.
Me too. Vince, of course, there is a heavy, heavy influence of Simon Garfunkel here. You can go to any bar, any music venue at any time and see some amazing Simon Garfunkel cover bands. But what we're talking about today are the bands that are trying to eschew this whole vibe. Bands that are really making an effort to sound unique and trying to say to the world, hey, just because we're from Scarborough Fair, New York, doesn't mean we have to sound identical to Simon and Garfunkel.
I completely agree with that sentiment. And what it's done for us as anthropologists has been to unlock some sounds that we feel are very, very unique. And really, that's what this town's all about. It's about variations on a theme, whether that be in the world of herbalism or in the world of music. Elliot, what's the first group we're going to dive into?
This first group is called Me and Julio Down by the Junkyard. And their debut album is what Pitchfork referred to as unlistenable. And so what these guys do is they go down to a junkyard and they make music out of just found sounds, found elements. I mean, these guys are... If you have Simon Garfunkel on one side of the spectrum, these guys aren't even on the spectrum. That's what I would say.
They're using the spectrum to beat against an oil drum to create some very troubling noise.
Actually, we have a clip from one of their songs right here, Vince.
Let's hear it.
Going to a brand new place, hoping for just one familiar face. My dreams, I know the signs of parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Tell me it will be just fine, moving to upstate and why.
Wow. To say that was deconstructionalist is not saying enough.
Yeah. My ears are still ringing a bit right now, but that just goes to show you how big of a difference this is. I mean, people think that you go to Scarborough Fair, all you're going to hear is just a bunch of, you know, Homeward Bound covers, Mrs. Robinson covers, but that's not the case. People here still have a musical voice that they would like to share.
And they have a musical philosophy. What I love about that is that it just doesn't sound like the same old folksy tune. It just doesn't sound like that at all. And you'd think 17 hours of speed metal a day would prepare us for something of that level of violence, but it hasn't. It hasn't prepared me.
Vince, I'm prepared to listen to another band. Have you heard of any that you would like to talk about?
I absolutely have. This would be the scat jazz duo called Bridge Over Water that, you know, is maybe not so troubled after all. And that's the full title of their group. They do spoken word, beat poetry. They do, you know, mouth noise, and they do scat and skibobble. So let's listen to a couple of lines from their newest album. Hey, you, listen to our music.
Going to a brand new place, hoping for just one familiar face. In my dreams, I know the signs of parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Tell me it will be just fine, moving to upstate and why.
Wow.
That's enchanting.
I can't believe that those two bands we've just listened to come from the same town, even.
They sound so wildly different. What I love is that They make every noise that you hear on their album with their own two mouths.
Wait, all those scats and ski bops, those weren't even coming from instruments?
Every single skadoodle, Elliot.
The skadoodles were the ones that I was most curious about, actually. I don't even know how you make that particular sound with just your mouth.
It's pretty impressive. And, you know, the thing I like about Bridge Over Water that, you know, maybe isn't that troubled after all, is that they're visionary and they're courageous in their eschewing of instruments.
That is something that I think we can all admire. So often people think of duos. There are just two of them, right?
No, they're a duo of four.
People so often think of duos as just a couple guys and a guitar, but they've really reinvented what that means, most notably by making the duo four people.
Hey, there are no bars on the walls of creativity, Elliot. I think that's something that this town is teaching both of us. But we have another mm-hmm. band, one more I think that we took the time to investigate. Elliot, what who is that?
Well, really, it actually came to me over a Spotify playlist I was listening to in our Swedish speed metal days, and they're called Sounds of Violence. And so this is just, you know, your traditional hardcore post-punk death metal band. They do not want anything to do with Simon and Garfunkel, although they both wear vests, which is very interesting. So that might just be kind of a fun callback. But this song that we're about to hear is called Hello Darkness, My Old Friend.
Going to a brand new place, hoping for just one familiar face. But in my dreams I know the signs of parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Tell me it will be just fine, moving to upstate and why.
Wow, that's quite the jam. Huge fan of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That really has some pep to it, I would say.
Oh, it's got a lot of energy. You know, not quite as evocative as their other hit single, "Die Garfunkel Die," but it's still pretty nuanced and mm-hmm. and inspiring, I would say.
They have such an amazing stage presence. We were actually able to see them at the end of every show. They take a sprig of rosemary and bite the head off of it. It's amazing.
Yeah, not for the faint of heart, of course, but pretty dang cool, I might say, objectively. Wow, those are three bands that sound so much different from one another, and I think if you're listening at home, you heard the clips, you heard how different the clips are from one another. Those are three very different clips.
Those are the differentest clips, I would say. I think. And again, it just goes to show that even though we're in Scarborough Fair, there is such an eclectic and diverse music scene.
And that's one of the things we both love about it so much. You know what? I didn't think we were going to hear a scat duo of four musicians, and I didn't think we were going to find a group that plays on abandoned trash. But you know what? We did. We found that. We found exactly that.
Vince, I'm kind of looking for five more things.
You read my mind, Elliot. Let's tackle those in our favorite segment, Did You Know?
Listeners, Did You Know is our rapid-fire, fast-fact segment where Vince and I fire at you five quick facts from whatever town we're in. Vince, I've got the first one.
Let's hear it, Elliot.
So, Vince, did you know it is illegal to have a pool in the town of Scarborough Fair, New York?
You know, I had no idea, Elliot. Why would that be?
Because if you have a pool, you'll constantly have to be fishing out angsty 20-somethings who have fallen in it and are just floating around to think.
It is quite the epidemic here. You can see it reflected even when there's rainfall and there's a little bit of puddle accumulation in the streets. Mm-hmm. Desperate for stagnant water, the 20-somethings will pile up on one another, sometimes stacking three or four bodies high. in an attempt to lay placidly in the pools that have formed.
The dental and the facial cosmetic professions are bustling here because when these puddles form, the 20-somethings just walk over and fall flat on their face into it, just like you would into a pool. And so it causes a lot of damage.
A lot of broken noses, a lot of chipped teeth, that sort of thing. Oh, wow. I didn't know that, Elliot. It does explain the giant piles of bodies in the streets. I'm glad to know that they're alive. They were just contemplative.
Yes.
I didn't know that. But, Elliot, did you know that Scarborough Fair is a favorite vacation destination for one former Yankee great, Joe DiMaggio?
I didn't know that, Vince.
Yeah. Joe DiMaggio famously wanted to answer the question. He's a very literal man. He's a man who isn't terribly fond of riddles, open-ended questions, or rhetoricals. So when he listened to the famous song, Mrs. Robinson, in which the line is posited, "Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio?" he wanted to pick a town and send in the answer to Simon Garfunkel, who he thought was genuinely asking him where he'd gone.
I think I heard about this, actually. I think I heard about this because I saw in a story, he saw that the newspaper, The Nation, rather, was turning their lonely eyes to him, and he was saying, "Why? I just came here."
He said, "I've only retired from baseball. I'm still alive. I have many hobbies and interests, including woodworking. So why the interest?" He wrote an open editorial to the newspaper that published the story, who never responded. And so to kind of quell what he thought was the greatest burning mystery of our generation, he moved to Scarborough Fair, where he built a lovely summer cabin, and he lived out the rest of his days there very peacefully.
Wow, Vince, I didn't know that, but maybe we should go and see if he's around after we're done recording this episode. I'm assuming he's still alive.
I don't think that he is, but his cabin still stands. Impeccable craftsmanship.
Well, I didn't know that nonetheless. Vince, did you know that Scarborough Fair has the most stray animals per capita?
Elliot, I have noticed a lot of vacant mewing from the stray cats, but I didn't know that there was quite that big of a problem.
Yeah, there's a lot of animals that have just gotten lost, and they're on, some would say, a fun and family-friendly journey on their way back, and they're all normally passing through the town of Scarborough Fair.
Uncharacteristically, they tend to coalesce into groups of three animals, and one of the animals is always young and sprightly, one is always old and wise, and one is always dry and sarcastic. Of course, the animals can't speak, so you have to go by reading animal body language. Thankfully, Elliot and I, by nature of being McNally's, have undergone extensive animal psychology training. So it's easy to pick out these characteristics. Opposites attract, as they say.
Yeah, what's unfortunate is that a lot of these animals get separated or they get thrown in the pound because a lot of people don't understand that when they're just standing there looking at each other in silence, they're actually communicating with each other, and people think they're just plotting to maul them or something.
It's an easy mistake to make. Can't really blame the people of Scarborough Fair for that. Wow, Elliot, what an enlightening piece of trivia. I didn't know that. But Elliot, did you know that it is highly frowned upon as a faux pas to garnish your dishes with parsley here in Scarborough Fair?
Wait, why?
Well, to them, if you don't have parsley as part of the main dish, then you shouldn't have it at all. It's led to quite the countercultural revolution in culinary, where the garnishes here are usually fully prepared meals, but made very tiny, and then giant parsley stalks are served as the actual meal.
You know, I didn't get a chance to actually go to that restaurant I mentioned, Part and Parsley, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they sell there.
We spoke to the proprietor, or I did, and he said his most famous dish is a giant stalk of parsley served with the topsoil still attached to its roots. And then the garnish is a three-course meal, including French onion soup served in a thimble, a tiny filet mignon made out of a mouse shank, and a creme brulee, which is exactly three atoms of cream across.
That sounds delicious.
And filling.
I think they actually import the most amounts of those little oyster forks here, but they use those as normal meal forks.
That's true. That's also true, Elliot.
Vince, I didn't know that, but did you know that Scarborough Fair has one of the largest Renaissance festivals in the country?
Elliot, I didn't know that. You know I'm a huge Renaissance festival fan.
I know, but it's not the typical type of Renaissance festival you would expect. There's no medieval times, there's no knights of the round table or anything. What they're describing is what they think is a musical Renaissance.
Elliot, are you meaning to tell me there's not even a stand that sells giant turkey legs and old-fashioned mead? Do you mean to tell me that there's not even a hack comic dressed as a jester insulting patrons?
No, you're not going to find that here. All you're going to find is a bunch of people dressed as Simon and Garfunkel.
That strikes me as day-to-day life here in the town.
Yeah, the fest is 365 days a year, and people just kind of go about their everyday lives. There's not necessarily an activity or some draw every day, but it's widely recognized, and because of semantics, they have the record for longest Renaissance fest. There's a lot of different competing fests that are pretty upset by this.
I would imagine so, to get by on a technicality as they would see it. Of course, as someone who has now come to the town and experienced life in the fest, I have to say, don't knock till you try it. These people are devoted to their craft, and they really live it out day in and day out.
I couldn't have put it better myself, Vince. And listeners, we've had such a fun time this week, but we've got one more surprise for you.
And that's a segment we call Wish You Were Here.
So this is our audio letter to you guys for coming with us on this journey, not physically, but spiritually, being whisked away with us each week. We want to give you a little thank you, and it goes something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Scarborough Fair, New York.
A town focused on botany, herbalism, and soft funk folk tunes.
A town where you're not going to find Simon and Garfunkel per se, but you're going to find a whole lot of people that look just like him.
A town where you're not going to find an above ground pool, but you will find some of the most diverse culinary and musical expressionism in this great nation.
A town where, if you're looking for Joe DiMaggio, well, you just might be in the right place.
And a town where, if you're looking for some of the nicest, brightest people, you're for sure in the right place.
So if you're wondering whether to come to Scarborough Fair, we'll say it's about time.
Farewell from these parts to yours. Hey listeners, thanks for tuning in again this week. Hope you enjoyed our time in Scarborough Fair, and I hope you enjoy next week when we're in Borealis, Minnesota.
Borealis, Minnesota is the original northernmost point in Minnesota, so stay tuned, it's going to be a good one.